Hello, G and Divas. We're just popping up in case you're deep in episodes from years ago to tell you that very soon you can see us in the cinema.
Hello from the future. It's future William and Jordan here. Stop living in the past and get up today. Next Tuesday, our show at the London Palladium will be streamed live into cinemas.
So if you want an evening full of laughs and outrageous problems and dilemmas, then come along and join us on the big screen.
Help I Sex and My Boss Live is showing everywhere and everyone's welcome.
Go to sexandmyboss.com/cinema to get your tickets now. That's sexandmyboss.com/cinema.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oh, by the way, I've rung around a few of the venues for the tour.
Right, why?
Some can provide separate dressing rooms. Others are going to put you in a broom closet. Okay. We're like the Gallaghers. We'll only speak on stage.
As long as my dressing room is bigger than Ben's, I'm fine.
No, Ben hasn't got one. He's not got one.
But he's the Portaloo.
When we go on our tour, tickets available.
Well, not many. There's basically none.
Well, there's a few.
Yeah, a few. I mean, a handful.
Oh, look at Diego's just popped up on there.
Diego's not been very well.
Oh, is he not?
No.
He's got a cough. Dogs don't get coughs, do they?
Ben texted me earlier saying that Diego has kennel cough.
What's kennel cough?
Is it dog COVID? Yeah, it's dog COVID.
Oh. I've never heard a dog cough in my life.
You want to go round to Ben's?
Hello and welcome to Help I Sexted My Boss, the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life, answering your 21st century questions and finding solutions to everyday dilemmas, like what should you do if you open up your towel in your neighbour's line of sight? And is it okay to invite a friend to the pub an hour later than your other mates? We'll explain that in a minute.
Yeah. Part.
And of course, what should you do if you've accidentally sexted your boss? But we're not your usual agony aunts, are we, William Hansen?
No, we're not, Jordan North. I'm more HRH, you're more HMP. I'd like to credit that one to Faye, so thank you for sending that one in, Faye. HMP, Jordan, do you know what HMP is?
Her Majesty's Prison.
Yes, of course you do. Got it in one. Do you know what HRH is?
Her Royal Highness.
Or his.
Oh, his Royal Highness.
Yeah.
That line there, like, is it okay to invite a friend to a pub an hour later than your other mates? William and I and Ben are meeting later in the week and...
In a park, not a pub, because they're all still closed.
Me and William are meeting at 1 and Ben's meeting us at 3. And he found out this week that we're meeting... I mean, we're going to be, like, squiffy before we meet him, but... I don't know, we just thought we'd have a little catch-up, me and you. Because the last time I seen you was, in person, was September, October, weren't it?
Was it?
When we went for that meal.
No, before you went away. No, we saw you afterwards.
Oh, yeah, William, I seen you came when we were allowed. We went for a walk, didn't we?
Yes, we went for... Yeah, that's right. Yes, we went for a walk. But no, you haven't seen Ben since just before you went away.
No.
Which is why he's coming a couple of hours later.
Yeah, we're gonna get some gin tins. William's
no,
going to have a gin.
No, we're not going to get gin tins.
Yeah, we are. I might even get your little Pimm's one. I'm doing a big shot.
No, I hate Pimm's. I will not drink it. I don't care if it's in a glass or in a tin. I'm not drinking it.
Well, listen, right, fine. I'll get you a can of Foster's and you can shut up.
I don't want that either. Gin?
Why?
Or gin and a bonnet? Fine. At a push a martini.
No, you've never had a gin tin, have you?
No.
I love a gin tin. I love a gin in a tin.
Do you know what? Right? I don't... Other than water, because, of course, now the fashion is to serve water or to you buy waters in recyclable cans, which is fine. I don't think I have ever drunk anything, including Coca-Cola, because I've never drunk Coca-Cola or anything similar, out of a tin.
I still can't believe that. Have you never had Diet Coke?
No. I've never had a fizzy drink in my life.
I can't get my head around that you've never had Coca-Cola. Have you ever had Fanta?
No.
Literally, growing up, I had all of them.
I just had water.
Dr. Pepper. The thing is with a gin tin, it's just like, because a gin and tonic's great in the park. Like I said this, gin tins are great for picnics, going in the park. If you're going to the races and you're getting on the coach early in the morning, gin tins are great then. And on the train, a train journey, perfect. However, I will note this, if you're going on an away match to watch Burnley play...
Oh, yeah, I'll write that down, yeah.
Talking from experience here, when you get on the train and all your brothers and cousins are there drinking tins of Foster's and John Smith's, don't you pull out your pink gin from your carrier bag. That's what I did.
You don't want to be on a coach with a load of sportsmen and pull out your pink one, do you?
No, we were playing QPR away. You should have seen our Lee's face. They were like, what the bloody hell are them? I'm like, you know, lager lays heavy on me when I'm on it all day.
You're so weird.
You know, it lays heavy on my stomach. Leave me be.
That's camp teenage Jordan.
I was about 20, 21. Okay. Should have seen him. Should have seen that Ali's face. Anyway, who are we toasting to?
Well, why don't we toast to Diego? Let's toast his health. We need to toast him back to full health and get rid of his kennel cough.
To Diego.
Diego. Cough. Ben hasn't got a drink. He's not toasting to his own dog. It's the sort of parent he is. Oh, now he has.
And we hope as well we should toast to your Easter weekend. We hope you had a good Easter weekend.
Yes.
And enjoyed the bank holiday.
Your parents, I seem to remember from a previous Easter episode that we've done, your parents always used to like go out. Easter was like quite a big night on the town for them.
Said it before, we'll say it again. In my eyes, Easter is better than Christmas. I've always preferred Easter. Christmas,
really?
I work. Yeah, I work every Christmas, don't I? And,
you worked on Easter.
Yeah, I know, but there's just something about having that Friday and that Monday off, right? And it's my favourite weekend. Usually, 7 times out of 10, the weather's nice, so you're in the beer garden. It's my favourite weekend. You're on it from Friday till Monday. When I lived back in Preston, I spent many Easter weekend from Friday to Monday just in the pub, in the Sir Tom Finney pub in Penwitham. I'd just be in there. From Friday, they always had karaoke. Mm. No. Friday was just a normal night, so everyone got on it and it was a good laugh. Saturday, they had a turn on. They had a singer.
You had a turn on?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Why were you turned on?
No, up north, they say, oh, there's a turn on.
What, like a tap?
No, like, if there's a singer on or a comedian, they'll say there's a turn on.
And why can't they just say that there's a singer?
Because it's a turn, innit? She does a good turn. Just shut up! Anyway, so there was a turn on Saturday, then it was karaoke on Sunday, and then you'd go back in on Monday, hammered, like, still hungover. Best weekend ever. I know it was a sad time and all, and we should be celebrating the life and death of Jesus, but what a legacy to
it was
leave.
The life, death and resurrection of Jesus.
Or whatever, what a legacy to... Imagine dying and years and years, hundreds and thousands of years later, however long it was, people still go out on the piss. I would love to die and then 100 years from now,
I don't think
are celebrating.
People that went out drinking...
People are getting...
No.
People are celebrating. What a legacy. What a legacy. I wouldn't love to die, I don't mean that, but I mean, like, think of his legacy. People still go out and have an Easter week.
They're not doing that to commemorate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.
I just think it's a It's a great legacy and a very fitting tribute to the man. But yeah, I love Easter. And adding to the mix, all the chocolate you get to have.
Well, I mean, the chocolate is nice, but that has got nothing to do with Jesus.
Weird one for you as well.
Not that anything we've just done is weird.
I don't know why. I've got some left. I might bring it to our little soiree. This Easter weekend, I made pumpkin pie.
Right. So you did an American pudding.
Yeah.
That they normally do at the latter half of the year.
Yeah.
For Easter.
I made pumpkin pie. Yeah. I'm really into my bacon. I made tiffin last week. Did I tell you?
I mean, tiffin is not difficult. It's just melt some chocolate, stick in some fruit and put it in the fridge.
Hey! It was good, my tiffin. I'll be bringing that on my little away trip next time. A little carrier bag full of tiffin for
Turn
lads.
Up like Brie van der Kamp with your basket of baked goods.
Here you are, boys. Here's my tiffin and pink gin. Come on, Burnley. Come on, Burnley. Let's go.
Don't steal my identity.
But, I made some pumpkin pie. I just really fancied making it.
How did you even get a pumpkin at this time of year?
Oh, I just got the tin off a tin of the mixture off Amazon.
Right.
I've got two more tins left, so I'll make some more when you next invite
me. Not for me. Make it for someone. Well, make it for one of your enemies.
And I didn't do the pastry. I just got the rolly pastry.
You bought the pastry and you stuck the mixture in and you put it in the oven.
Yeah.
That's not baking.
That is baking.
It's not. I did a simnel cake. Have you ever done a simnel cake?
No, what's that?
Well, it's like an Easter Christmas cake. That's how I'd best describe it.
Oh, and have you made that?
Yes, I made it and did my own little almond paste on the top, and you put your little balls on the top, which represent the apostles.
I beg your pardon?
You put your balls on top that represent the apostles. It's like a Christmas cake, but you've put, some people call it marzipan, other people call it almond paste, some people call it marsh pane, if they're being technically quite smart, and you put that within the mixture.
Can I tell you what we'll do, right? You bring a bit of... Have you got any of that cake left over?
A little bit.
Right, you bring some of that. I'll bring my pumpkin pie to the soiree. And Ben can... We can have a great British Bake Off and Ben can judge which is better.
Right. I mean, Ben, I'd be 3 hours late if I were you.
Maybe we'll hear Ben speak in one of the bonus podcast episodes.
I can assure you, Jesus would not have wanted that.
Also, as we're talking about bacon, I've never told him this to his face, but I will tell you now. William Hansen's bacon, very hit or miss.
Oh, shut up.
Also, whilst we're at it, Greek lamb tray bake, not so keen. Remember, if you want to help with something...
When did you even have that?
When we... The podcast awards. You made it then.
Did I?
Very chewy. Fatty. Remember, if you want to help with something, then you can tweet us at Sexton. Oh, you should see his face. I'm kind of joking.
Says the person who serves up corned beef hash.
You loved corned beef hash.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but I don't go prancing around telling everyone I'm an etiquette expert and a baker and a cook.
I don't tell people I'm a baker.
You can send your trails of trepidation to help at sextedmyboss.com, or you can write to William, who promises a handwritten reply in his own letterhead and paper. The address is on the website, sextedmyboss.com. How's your week been?
It was going very well, thank you.
if you listen to me on Castaway, Laura Whitmore's podcast, I talked about you very lovingly in there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, have a listen to it. I talked about this podcast and how it started.
Are you texting again?
No, I'm trying to find a joke of the week. I can't remember it. I got sent one this week and it was class. I'm just having a look now.
Well, whilst you're talking about jokes of the week and our interval act, if we can call it that, we have quite a few apologies to do today. First of all, I'd like to start with an apology to Hayley Lawton, who last week we did the I'm More, You're More, and we didn't credit her because I think you got carried away, so I'm blaming you. It was you started talking about cash and carry.
Oh.
So, Hayley, thank you for that, as we say thank you to Faye this week. I'd also like to apologise for my wacky word of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Two people have so far noticed this. I'm half surprised, but also not surprised that more people didn't notice this. But basically, what happened, Gia Divas, is we got to the point in the episode where we get to the halfway point, and I completely forgot to have a wacky word prepped. So off the top of my head, I said the word conniptions. It's not a word. The word is conniptions, not conniptions. The definition I got correct. I just got the word wrong.
Standards are slipping.
So I apologise.
Standards are slipping on this podcast. Ever since you've been out gallivanting with that trollop from Three Bristol Counties, whatever station he's on.
Three Bristol Counties?
Ever since you've been with that little sleazeball. Standards on this podcast have been going down. You've not been crediting who's done the "you're more, he's more." You've been getting the words wrong.
The what?
I don't know. It's not my. That's not my department. I don't know. You do all that.
Anyway, so well done to those. Jack on Instagram got it right, and there was one person on Twitter. So congratulations to both of you, and apologies. The other apology is for the... I didn't... and I went.
Another one?
Yeah, I know, three. It's like a hat trick. Lad. Is that... Get me with my football reference. You and I get sent the episode just to make sure that we're happy with what goes out and that we haven't completely overstepped the mark. I'll be honest, a couple of things in last week's episode I probably would have taken out in hindsight. But
such as?
We won't go there. And we'll tackle that another time. The you weeing.
Oh.
I was out on a run and didn't really hear that bit. And it was only when I was then listening to it back after it had gone out and we heard this sort of quite... I mean, clearly you've got no urological problems, so well done. I thought, wow, we left that in? So I apologise to everyone.
Yeah, I apologise for that. I've been brung up better than that. I didn't know Ben was going to keep that in either. So...
Well, I mean, again, did you not listen to it?
I did. I always listen. Yeah.
It's normally you that asks for things to be cut, not me.
I've made it no secrets. Or, like, if you think I've no filter now, wait till you hear what gets cut. God. Yeah, sorry that the piddle sound got in. My mum always shouts at me for that. When I'm at home, she always goes, "Do it! Do it! Do it!" And I have to shut the door whenever we...
No, you have to shut the doer.
Doer. That's what she does.
I love that. I can, and you know, I sometimes... Obviously, tour we've talked about and pur, but doer.
Doer. Shut that doer.
Sometimes look at doors and think, oh, there's the doer.
Doer.
Shut that doer.
So, yeah, we did have a lot to apologise for there. So, we're actually getting loads of people asking about post-lockdown etiquette and dilemmas and problems. So, I thought for the first time on the episode today, we'll do some quick-fire post-lockdown etiquette. Is that okay?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely fine.
I'll ask you the questions. These are just from people that we've had in tweets and messages and DMs. Okay. And you just give us a quick-fire answer, yeah? So don't pretend you're on this morning trying to be funny and everything like that and best mates with Phil and just quick-fire, right?
It's all about Alison Hammond now. She's my new fave.
How do you say no to people if you're still worried about the pandemic?
Okay, you simply say, keep it short, keep it sweet.
No to people.
Yeah, if they've said, oh, let's go out to the park, or can I come round to your garden, or whatever, you say, actually, I'm still a bit uncomfortable about it, but hopefully soon, fingers crossed, and keep it short, keep it sweet, be honest.
Okay, this is a good one. What do you do when people go in for a hug? Because I think, do you be like, oh, sorry, I'm not a hugger, what do you do?
Taser
someone
them.
Goes in for, what, seriously, if someone goes in for a hug?
Taser. Shout, taser, taser, taser! And then hopefully they back off.
How do you politely tell people to leave your garden once you've had enough of them? That's from Jade. That's a great question.
Yes. Well, you know my standard technique, which I always do at any form of entertaining, indoor or outdoor.
It is. So, Jordan, have you got much planned tomorrow?
I've got work at half eight, but I'm having a good time, William. Mikey, get us another gin, love.
Yeah. What's my mother doing here? Yes, I do that one. Or I do, can I get anyone anything else? Which is another code for go away.
I think if you bring the coffee out, that's always a good way of doing it.
Well, no, because no, coffee's part of the whole fun.
No, it's like, right, I'm making a brew. I'm getting ready for bed. You can all piss off. I'd just do it. Do you know what? I'd do it like that. I'd be like, right, I'd do it in a jokingly serious way. Right, I'm making a brew. I'll do one last round and then you can all piss off, get your taxis wrong.
Right.
How do I pick two couples to join us without offending other friends, says Karen.
Well, I think if you are going to invite friends over and you haven't invited other friends, don't post it on social media. Make sure that... what's the point of posting on social media? Just enjoy the time. Don't offend others by showing that you've had other people around. But also, you know, this isn't rule of six and then you can't have anyone else. You can have six people at one go and then the next day have another six people. So hopefully... you can have everyone over at some point.
What do I talk to my friends about when we've exhausted all topics over the last year? That's from Katie.
Well, as I said to Alison Hammond, what you can do is you can use your surroundings as a source of inspiration. So you can say, what a lovely bay tree, what a nice big aspidistra tree you've got, that sort of thing. So anything that you can see and that's in sight, you can use.
One thing I do is... if I'm going to a meeting down here and it's like the first time meeting someone and part of working in this industry is like first impressions, like you say, and people liking you, I always write a list of things to talk about because it's part of the best way of getting work down here is just like if people like you. So I always think of things to talk about. If I'm meeting Ben on my own, I always write a list of things to talk about because it's like getting blood from a stone having a conversation. So... that's my little tip. Write a list of little topics. It never goes wrong. Number one is football. It's always... what? What? What?
Your Zoom connection was so bad during that. All Ben and I heard was every other word, and Ben and I were just nodding, sort of thinking, yeah, if we just nod and make some noises, he'll never know.
Okay, do I apologise for having bad hair when I meet up with people?
Are you asking for yourself?
No, this is Dambor 10.
No, of course not. No, keep it positive. And look, hey, it might be bad for you, but to other people it might actually look fine and they may not notice it, so don't bring it to their attention.
Is it still... I'd say, yeah. I always do that. I go, oh, don't look at the state of my hair. I look a right mess. I look like I've been playing with plug sockets. Do you want a drink? Is it still okay to give people not wearing masks disapproving looks? That's from Darko. Yeah. How early is too early to start drinking in the park, Becky? Half eight before work. Too early. 9 o'clock on a Good Friday morning. Perfectly fine. 8 o'clock on a bank holiday weekend. Why not? Half seven before work, in the park, not good. Are sharing plates acceptable? That's from Lucia.
Well, normally it might be more acceptable, but at the moment for COVID, I wouldn't recommend sharing anything.
I think I friend zone myself on a date because of social distancing. How do I fix it? That's from Honeytrap.
Right. Well, communication. Just be honest. Tell them. Text them. Call them. Zoom them. Just tell them.
Exactly what you've said to us. Say to them, I think I friend zoned myself on a date by social distancing. How do I fix it? Tell them that. Do, it's from John. Do orgies count as outdoor sports if we do it on the patio?
Right. Well, first of all, in order of importance, John, it's a terrace, not a patio. And secondly, I believe they are a contact sport, as Whitney Houston once sang. So I don't think that counts at the moment.
Have you and Tom next door been docking yet? Have you docked yet?
Yes!
Have you docked?
We did. We docked last weekend because we connected our homos, and which is the brand of hose that we use. Not a paid partnership, but it could be if they'd like to be.
Why not? Everybody else is
help
at the moment.
help@sexedmyboss.com.
We'll read on,
and,
literally.
Between Tom and lovely Tom and my neighbour, we all jet washed the back passage last weekend, ready for visitors.
They were great questions, then. Thank you for some. It's good. We'll do more quickfire etiquette. We will.
How's your wallet? Have you got your wallet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my wallet got handed back in again. So that's twice in a month.
Well done. Good on whoever handed it back in.
It was picked up by someone who lives on the same premises as me. And because it's my old flat number on my driving licence, they posted it there. Then they give it to the postman, and the postman handed it in. It's been a nightmare, but I've got it. And what I've got now, I've been sent one of those tracker things, those tile trackers. So if I go on my phone now, I can find my wallet anywhere in... Right, well, it's in Abu Dhabi. It's in Abu Dhabi at the moment, but it's right next to me, so bear with.
Maybe, but hang on, but if... How permanent is this tile? I mean, can the tile easily be removed or fall out?
Yeah, no, it's like a... Look, I'll show it you. It's like the size of a credit card. I can't get it out. So you just put it in your wallet like a credit card. Look. And then...
Show me.
God's sake.
I want to see it.
This has saved my life. So I can track it on my phone. If I've lost it, I can see who's got it. And go and hunt them down and go, "Oi! Give me my wallet back!"
Oh. It's like an episode of Line of Duty.
I can't get the thing. I can't get the bloody thing out. Wait there. There, look. That's what it is.
All right. Okay.
Looks like a business card, doesn't it? Like a trendy business card. So you pop it in, right?
Yeah.
And then watch this. If say I know it's in the house, but I can't find it.
Mm.
It rings. My wallet rings.
Oh, that's cute. Can you change the tune?
Where's my... Can you change your bloody tune? Where's my bloody wallet? Where's my wallet? Oh, hang on. It's here in Cooker. What my life? Hello? Hi, Mum. Yeah, Mum, I'm just doing a podcast recording. I'll ring you back. All right, Mum. Love you. Bye-bye.
Well... Lovely. Well, I'm very pleased. So, okay, so Jordan, say this now. Let's put this out there. Is this now the end of...
I think it is the end.
I've lost my wallet again.
I think this could be a lifesaver for me. I really do.
Well, fingers crossed.
Also this week, can I just say, your pictures of you winning the Good Egger Prize...
No, that wasn't the Good Egg Prize. That was a set. In fact, I know there's another photograph we could release of me with the Good Egg Cup, and it is tiny.
Getting a lot of reaction on our Help I Sex and My Boss socials. A lot of the boys and girls picking up how handsome you were when you were 17, 18.
Well, I mean, I still am. Obviously, I'm gorgeous now, but I was a different handsome... different level. Well, yes, no, well, thank you very much for everyone's kind comments. I showed those photographs just before we posted them to Mikey, and he'd never seen them. And he said numerous things. I mean, lots of people, I mean, he said things that lots of people said on the socials, that literally could have been last year, in that I don't seem to have aged particularly, and that I sort of just looked like, other than the hairline, it was basically William in a suit, which... It's sort of, my looks stayed the same over the years. But then Mikey looked at it and went, "Your mother's had that hair." And then he scrolled through and he went, "You've always had that big chin." And I clarified what he meant by that. And he said, no, it's distinguished. And he wished that he had a big, prominent chin.
God bless him. You know, he's a typical Wakefield lad. He does not...
He's not from Wakefield!
He tells you how it is, exactly what it is, when it is. You've always had a big chin, haven't you? Christ, yeah. It's always been there. I'm sure your mother's had that hairdo. Oh, God, we're dragging on a bit here. Are we ready for Jordan's Jolly Joke of the Week?
We are ready for Jordan's Jolly Joke of the Week.
If you like a chap who's cheeky and northern, you're in for a treat with our Jordan. And if a giggle is what you seek, you're sure to love Jordan's Jolly Joke of the Week.
Yorkshire couple moved to Spain. Right?
Already love it.
Okay, you're going to love this. Yorkshire couple moved to Spain, and on the Sunday... The wife realises they've no gravy for the Sunday dinner. She says, "George, go next door and ask them if they've any gravy." And I'll tell you the punchline after the break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, then. So it's Jordan's Jolly Joke of the Week. Yorkshire couple move to Spain, and it gets to Sunday, and the wife realises she didn't pack any gravy. They've no gravy for the Sunday dinner. So she says, George, go next door and ask them if they've got any gravy. So George goes next door. Fella opens door. He says, ask there any bisto? And fella says, sorry, I don't speak Spanish. Now, take those characters and do it as Wendy and Graham.
It still works.
There you go.
Well, so wonderful.
I'll pick one randomly from my dad jokes books. Oh, where are we going with this? Why do North Koreans draw the straightest lines? Because they have a supreme ruler.
It's fine. Do you think we have any North Koreans that listen?
What did the cannibal's wife say when he came home late for dinner? I'm giving you the cold shoulder.
I really wonder if we do have any North Koreans listening. I actually would love to know.
Well, we've got listeners all over the world.
Maybe our next tour next year we'll do like, you know, Leeds, Bristol, Manchester, Pyongyang.
Why not?
Still preferable to Sheffield.
What? Right. What is it? Can we just clear some of it up, Gene Devers, right? William has nothing against Sheffield. Just every time we go on tour, he picks a city that he's going to get digs in. So loads of people are messaging me. We're getting loads of comments going, what's wrong with Sheffield? Why is he having a go at Sheffield? Steel City. Full Monty. It's just, he picks a city every year. Don't take it to heart.
Love you, Sheffield. Can't wait.
Have you ever been to Sheffield before?
Once.
I'd say it's the London of Yorkshire.
It's the London of Yorkshire. That's offensive to quite a lot of places we're going to.
No, it's...
How about Leeds?
It's very... No. Sheffield's... it's a very... what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a very metropolitan, vibey... Oh my fucking God, I've just said vibey. Who am I? I'm finishing. I'm done.
Hello, Radio 2.
I've just said vibey. I have just... It's like proper... It's a bit like Camden, Sheffield.
Well, you're not selling it to me, I'll be honest.
In like... It's bougie. It's trendy. Oh, it's God. Promise you, it's a great night out. We'll go for some drinks afterwards.
Well, then how would you describe Leeds? If Sheffield is the... London of Yorkshire. What's Leeds? The Leeds of Leeds?
Leeds is like the Manchester of Yorkshire.
Do you want to offend the
entire I don't know what I can't Yorkshire. Say that. I can't say that because the eight man.
I mean, Leeds is
a whole year. I've just Leeds said vibey. Who am I? I'm going back home on 17th of May when I'm allowed to do overnight stays. I can't go home and start saying vibey. Might as well pull my pink gins out now. Vibey. Yeah, how was that bar, George? Ah, you know, it was really vibey. Have I changed?
Leeds is lovely. I mean, there's practically no grass left. I mean, they've really done so much to Leeds. Something that went very, very well a few weeks ago, surprisingly well, and I think we should do it again, was our Give Me the D competition. This is when the listeners can win a bottle of Debonair. You just go to our Instagram page, look at a post in the week of this release, and follow the rules. Shall we sing our little ditty? Composed by me, but the music was composed by one of our G&D divas, Stephen. But the lyrics originally my intellectual property. So shall we have a little sing song? I think headphones out again though.
I want the G.
I need it now.
Need it now.
Please tell me when.
Please tell me how.
I'm thirsty and willing and eager, you see. So come on, boys. Give me the D.
Like William said, all the details will be up on our social, on Instagram.
Ben, do you want to rate that out of 10? He's saying 10. Easily pleased.
Let's go to the listeners' problems, dilemmas and questions, please. First bit of correspondence, William Hansen.
This one is from Hannah. Dear William and Jordan, I'm writing to you with a long-standing debate between my husband and I. She means me and my husband. With normality on the horizon, I hope you can help us finally put the issue to bed. Excuse the pun. My husband enjoys spending his Saturdays in the pub and often comes home in the early hours when I'm already asleep. He then proceeds to stumble clumsily into the bedroom, turning on the torch on his phone and putting it on the bedside table, light upwards illuminating the room. Takes the change out of his pockets and loudly decants it into an oversized whiskey bottle, before stumbling around, getting undressed and then finally getting into bed and proceeding to watch videos on his phone with the volume turned up. Even when he is finally asleep, the aroma of alcohol and kebab radiating from him is so much so that I have on occasion had to sleep in the guest room. We have discussed the issue at length. I think he should sleep in the spare room and he thinks that I should sleep in the spare room. So my question to you is, which one of us should sleep in the spare room when he comes home pissed? Kind regards, Hannah.
Hannah, I'm going to give you my number to give to your other half, because it sounds like me and him would have a great night out. He's my kind of guy.
Yeah, but OK, the night out might be good, but it's the coming back from the night out that clearly is... I mean, Hannah, I would have snapped if I were you.
I'm just trying to be one at lads, because I said vibey.
Right.
That's all I'm doing. I did once come home from a night out with a mate and got in bed with him and his then fiance. We thought it'd be hilarious, and she flipped out.
She wouldn't now.
Yeah, we thought it'd be funny, so I got in bed. She turned round and I was stroking her hair, and it wasn't funny. Seriously, put him in the spare room. There's nothing worse than when you're sober and someone gets into bed with you and they've been on the piss and they're burping and farting and kebabbing, and just put them in. You say to him before he goes out, and this, you know, this is from Wendy's Book of Tricks, and she's quite, you know, not long in tooth, want for a better phrase, but she always says to me, Dad,
Wendy, if you're listening.
If you're staying out, you're going in spare room, you're going out settee. Don't come in, start waking me up and upsetting house. So before he goes out, say, you do not get in bed if you're drunk. What's your advice?
Well, I would, so on occasion, when either Mike is working a late shift and I've gone to bed, or if I'm working late and coming home, or even if I'm here in the study and Mike has already gone to bed and I'm doing some presentation to Pyongyang or somewhere, what we will do is we put my pyjamas or Mike's pyjamas, all of the accoutrements in the sitting room, and then you change there. You take all your clothes off there. Thankfully, we our bathroom is separate, so we can go and sort of, you know, do that, and we don't disturb each other. And then, I am better than Mikey. Mike is a bit loud when he comes to bed. I, in a former life, I think I was a cat burglar, because I can get into that bed and lie on the bed, put the cover over me, and he doesn't even stir.
I bet Mikey's like Wreck-It Ralph when he comes in. Hey up, Willie! Shh! This is Mikey whispering, go to sleep! I'll be in a minute, Millie, come pop it. Just mecha brew. Fucking hell, Maggie.
You remind me of when I was you know, very young child, when I was like 5 or 6, and as a child you sometimes have scary dreams, so you go into your parents just, you know, have comfort, and sometimes my father would then get evicted from the bed and have to go and sleep in my bed, and I would get in with my mum, and she'd be like, oh darling, don't worry about it, come into me, we'll be fine in the morning, night darling. And literally, if I moved my left toe, my little toe, I'd get, lie still, from the other side of the bed. There was no sympathy once we said goodnight. I couldn't, and I can remember being absolutely like rigor mortis in the bed, trying not to move. So I didn't get, lie still.
I were never allowed that. So it probably really? Says a lot about my childhood and how I've turned out as an adult. It's just come in, mum would be like, what's happened? Tell me all, and dad'd be like, get in your room, you soft ass. Bogeymen. Like, they're going to come round here.
What?
Bogeymen. Bloody out to nick in this house. No burglars. You'll be right. Something that is... burglars? What, they're going to rob?
My father and brother once played a practical joke on me. I had gone up to bed. We were all sort of... My parents were getting ready for bed downstairs. I had gone up to bed. And I was, I don't know, 14. And they went and... I mean, this. I can hear this as I say it. They went and got the swimming pool cleaning net, the net that you have to clean the swimming pool, and on the end is a bit of rubber, and they took it to below my bedroom window and then tapped on my bedroom window with the bit of rubber, and of course my blinds were down, and well, that was it. I just ran down screaming, and then the next thing I know, my brother and father come in from outside thinking it was hilarious. Didn't sleep a wink.
I can imagine middle at night you coming in. Sarah's like, oh, darling, don't worry, mummy's here, darling, mummy's here. Oh, Christ, I've bloody drank too much champagne. Let me just swig more champagne. I'll switch on the light, darling. You can come into mummy's bed, into my bosom. Oh, it's you, William. I thought it was James. Get back to bed. Don't be so stupid, darling. You're too old now. I thought it was my James. I was worried for a moment. Swigging champagne.
You are a card. Shall we go on to our next listener problem?
I've been called a few words, beginning with C before, but not card.
Hello, William, Jordan and producer Ben. Firstly, can I just say that I absolutely adore your podcast and can't wait to see you on tour again. We came last time around and had such a good night, I can't remember another time I've laughed so hard. Aww. My girlfriend particularly enjoyed meeting Jordan in the flesh and questioning what products he uses on his hair in an attempt to get me to recreate the look. I can confirm that following lockdown growth, I have very much failed at this task. I have a question regarding wedding guest etiquette. We are planning to get married next year and are going to have a very small and intimate wedding with only a few guests. We have decided we wish to stay at a 5-star hotel in our favourite city, Edinburgh, with all of our guests. Clearly, there is a reasonable cost associated with this, and my girlfriend and I have different views on how to approach it. We don't want the guests to stay anywhere else, as we all wish to be together in the same hotel. However, I believe we can't expect them all to foot their own bill, as it's our choice to stay there. So my questions are, is it reasonable to ask that all guests stay in this hotel with us? And secondly, is it fair to ask them to pay a contribution towards their stay, or should we pay the bill in full, as it's our choice to stay there? Thank you in advance for your help with this matter. We have researched lots for an answer to this, and the only thing we can both agree on is that whatever answer you give us will be the one we go with. Kind regards, Dougie.
Great question, Dougie. Keep sticking at that hair, you'll get it one day. Just rub your head on a pillow and look like you've been through a bush backwards and you'll soon get the look. If you're staying at a 5-star hotel and he's basically saying, is it all right for his guests to do it? This happened at a wedding I was at recently, and do you know what they did that I thought was brilliant? So they said, I think you speak to the hotel, and if the guests are yours, there might be a bit of discount on the room. There might be a bit of discount.
Preferential rate.
So you put that on the email or the invitation, and I thought this was brilliant. One of the last weddings I went to was they said, we're staying at this hotel. It is a bit pricey, but if you fancy treating yourself, here's the rates. Or, and then they give a list of 2 or 3 other hotels in the area and a taxi number, so you could go to the other. What?
I just like the fact that you think that was... I mean, that's generally what most weddings do.
Oh, do they? So, like...
I tell you what was good. is they did this bit where, like, the bride walked down and met the groom at the front, and then they, like, talked to each other and said nice things and gave them a peck on cheek.
But if they don't want to stay there, give them, like, we stayed in Premier Inn and we got breakfast, or, like, do... what? We did. Or, like what I do when I go to weddings, you can get dropped off at a wedding, fine. Dad, will you drop us off? Yeah. But it's getting back in the middle at night, so, and it's usually like 40 minutes away, so you share a taxi with someone. So say you can stay at that hotel or give some alternatives. What? Do you know what? Fine. Go on, what do you want to say?
You're not even answering their question. I mean, it's great, but it's right.
That's what they're saying.
Dougie and fiance, here's the answer. You cannot tell your guests you have to stay in this hotel and then make them even pay a contribution. You know your guests. You know what their budget is. You can say, we would love it if everyone stayed at this hotel, but unless you are going to pay their bill in full, you cannot insist on it. And if you desperately all want to be in the same hotel, rethink the hotel, basically. Yes, Jordan is absolutely right. You do need to see if you can negotiate a preferential rate for your guests. That would be an absolute... And you can communicate that with them. But if you can't be disappointed, you can't hold it against your guests if they choose to stay somewhere else because they can't afford the five-star hotel in Edinburgh.
And Dougie, like, one thing about a wedding is you will not be able to please everyone. No matter what you do, you could have your wedding at Buckingham Palace and there'll always be some girl or lad who's on the fourth wine going, well, we're not having starters because apparently that's a lot cheaper. They've saved £2,000. I mean, what's £2,000 in grand scheme of things? It's like, well, it's a lot of money, isn't it? Well, we're going to have starters at my wedding. It's like, all right. So you won't be able to please everyone. There's no DJ. It's just the playlist that they're doing. Yeah. Yeah. Tacky.
I can't wait for our live streamed episode because some of your hand gestures that you do when you do your little funny voices. It's a whole experience.
It's my impressions. Wendy, can I borrow your potato?
We have one other letter which is handwritten. I have had a sneak preview at this letter. It came in an envelope. With Sir William Hanson, with Help I Sex My Boss's address. First class stamp. This person has written his letter on numerous sheets of lavatory paper.
That is fantastic. That is absolutely... What, are they in prison?
I haven't read
are
the
they
letter.
In prison? Oh, my God.
Oh, they live in Helmsley, North Yorkshire, which says so much. Dear William and Jordan, sorry about the paper, but we are in lockdown. Have you not heard of Amazon?
Have our lives come to that we're writing letters on paper? This is brilliant.
My daughter Maddie, who's 23, has introduced me to your podcasts. I'm overjoyed to be introduced to it, as it is fucking hilarious. I'm binge listening and only on the 2018 episodes at the moment, but getting through them fast. I love the common as muck, posh as F-U-C-K combo. I have a story about Uber Pool. Maddie used this once, picked up in Richmond, two drunk girls already in the back of the car. Half an hour into the journey, she said there was a smell. Wound down the windows a little, the smell got worse. 20 minutes later, the girls got out at their destination. The driver drove a little way down the road and asked Maddie if he could check the smell out. The giggling, pissed-up girls from the back of the car had had a shit in the footwell.
Oh, my God. Where are we? I mean, I thought we couldn't stoop any lower with a watermelon.
Maddie no longer uses Uber Pool. She wasn't charged. I've left a couple of sheets of lavatory paper in case you both get caught short. Love from Sarah and Maddie.
Imagine the rating you'd give someone who shit in your Uber. I mean, I've left crisp packets in an Uber before and felt bad and text them saying, sorry, I left a crisp packet in. But shitting in an Uber? How do you... just as I think this podcast, like, we can't going, like, there's no questions or dilemmas we'll get that shock me. We get a letter written on toilet roll. What do you make of that?
I don't really know what to say.
Help, I've shit in an Uber. There you go.
But let's not call the episode that. We'll never get sponsored by Uber.
I can't just... I don't. Who shits in an Uber?
I mean, obviously that is not appropriate and we're not condoning that. But
no wonder we don't win any awards.
But thank you, Sarah and Maddie, for taking the... however long it took to write on 10 sheets of lavatory paper to send in your problem. I wonder how I'll reciprocate when I write back, because you have put a return address. So thank you.
How do you physically shit in an Uber? How do you...
Well, let's save something for our 100th episode.
I'm not shitting in an Uber.
Gene Devers, if you want our help with anything, then the address is on the website, sexwithmyboss.com.
Or you can send your tales of trepidation to help@sexwithmyboss.com. Or you can write to William, who promises a handwritten reply on his own toilet head and paper.
Lavatory.
The address is on the website, sexwithmyboss.com. Do you call it lavatory paper?
Tell you what, I've just realised I can bring this to the park.
Why? In case... I'm not... Oh, I mean, it's all right to have a wee outside. Right. Just to end the episode, it's fine to have a wee outside in certain circumstances. Well, it's not actually, because if you've got kids and there's some bloke having a wee...
You see the lengths that you've made us plummet, Sarah and Maddie, with your loo roll letter.
Have you ever said bog roll?
No.
Say it now. Say no. Just pretend. Say pretend you're having a poo and you've run out, and just say to Mikey, "Mikey, we've run out of bog roll. Please,
please, may I have some bog roll?"
What an episode.
See you in the park.
Hello, it's me, Jamie Lang, and I've got a new podcast, and this time there are no gimmicks. It's just great company. Because the thing is, I realize the reason I love podcasts so much is because they're a great way to connect with people.
Hello, I'm Youngblood.
Joe Brand.
I'm Paloma Faith.
Jay Blades.
Elizabeth Day.
Zara Larson. Casper
Lee. And I'm Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Great Company.
Apparently.
It's Great Company with me, Jamie Lang. Out now.
Hello, Gene Devers. We're just popping up in case you're deep in episodes from years ago to tell you that very soon you can see us in the cinema.
Hello from the future. It's future William and Jordan here. Stop living in the past and get up today.
On Tuesday, our show at the London Palladium will be streamed live into cinemas.
So if you want an evening full of laughs and outrageous problems and dilemmas, then come along and join us on the big screen.
Help, I Sexed My Boss live is showing everywhere and everyone's welcome.
Go to sexedmyboss.com/cinema to get your tickets now. That's sexedmyboss.com/cinema.